I remember meeting you back in the mid 90s, and I had all this, I had long hair, I was looking, you know, crazy. We was at Roseland, this club called Roseland. I said, Mike, now I'm Tony Touch, how you doing? He said, Tony Touch. Looked me up and down, I said, man, Tony Touch, the DJ? I was like, yeah, you make the tapes? Yeah. I thought you was black,
I
man.
Did. I had no idea.
I said, listen, I'm Puerto Rican, it's like the same shit anyway, but.
Here we go, 1-2-1-2. Another episode of Hot Boxing and Mike Tyson.
I'm Evan Britton.
And we have an awesome guest extraordinaire, the master man, the mixtape king, Tizony Tizuch.
Ah!
Hey.
Talk I love that Tony. Intro.
Let me catch my breath. Thank you, man. Mike, thanks for having me, man. Fresh off the plane,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, oh, I'm glad to hear that.
I just landed literally like not even an hour ago.
That's a good welcoming.
It's a good welcoming right here. I like that, man.
Good thing the airport's close.
Yeah,
it's amazing. You know, it was like everything worked out perfect.
Yeah, it's God blessing. We're so close to the airport.
Amen, man.
It's a good spot.
What are you doing, Tony, man?
Man, a lot of great things happening, bro.
Tell
right
me about
now.
This new a mixtape thing you're doing.
Yeah, it's a
documentary.
Yeah, it's a mixtape film. We're putting together, we're talking about the whole mixtape culture from the beginning, Hollywood, Bruce, you know, Brucey B, Star Child, all the way up through Kid Capri, into DJ Clue and K Slay, all the way up to now to Drama, DJ Khaled. You know, we want to show people how important the mixtape culture was, man, for many years, because, you know, music wasn't really
drama
on the radio.
Drama kicked ass for a long time, too, though.
Yeah.
Drama kicked the
Drama,
ass.
Yeah, that's right, man.
He's in Atlanta now, right? Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. He kicked ass for a long time.
And he took the rap, man, for, you know, when the feds came down on the whole thing.
Mixtape, yeah.
He was the, you know, he was the dude that ended up getting hemmed up for it, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it changed everything since then. But this, he's still successful. He's got his studio, his label, his artist. So we want to talk about that because for a while, the mixtape DJ was like the underdog. You know, we wasn't on the radio really in the limelight, but we were really spreading the music all over the world.
I know, but you were spreading a different kind of music. You were spreading culture music, music that they would never play on the radio, music that really would never, they played rap music, but it really never put out our word, how we expressed ourselves, how we spoke, you know what I mean? Even listen, when you think about it now, Rapper Delight was really commercial. When you think about rapping, now, that was really sold out rapping music when you really think about
that's
it.
Commercial, yeah.
That's
shout
really
out to
commercial.
Grandmaster Caz, who's also in the film, who wrote the Sugar Hill. You know,
yeah, so. Listen, man, NWA came in. What's those other guys, Bushwick Bill and those guys? They came and changed the game.
That's right.
They spoke for us.
They did.
And Public Enemy, they spoke for us. They changed the game.
They sure did.
The people,
man.
Then they told our secrets. Everyone knows how we feel now.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows about us. Now everybody conducts themselves somewhat like us because that's the culture that we were. You know what I mean? We were just so taboo. We were so taboo. Our parents didn't like us. We were different from our parents. And then hip hop come. And then hip hop came and we just everybody. If you're not with us with this, our parents, everybody, and we have built this culture.
Yeah. That's right. Here we are, man.
It's amazing.
2020.
That's amazing.
Come the Latin Quarter. That's what the place. Listen, I can remember in like 83 and stuff like the 85, 83 stuff. If you were hanging out in those places, you're a scum. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Even your friends, you come around, I heard you was at that place with that hip hop bebop. Yo, Mike, that is crazy.
Right.
You know, listen, you was an outcast if you hung around the hip hop spots. Latin Quarter, what was the other, the tunnel? You hung around there, all the people there with the stick-up kids, the criminals were there. So if you hung up there, you were really in bad news.
That's right, man. I went to LQ's once, man.
Yeah, it was crazy, right?
87, 88.
It was crazy, right?
Shout out to Red Alert, who was...
Oh, he took you there. He was there all the time. Every time I went there, I saw Red Alert.
That's right, man. I got to DJ with him this Saturday night, man.
Yeah.
He's still kicking ass, man. Red Alert, man.
That's dope.
Prop Master,
that's right, man. So... Nah, a lot of good things happening. So there's plenty of movies out there, hip-hop films and documentaries about rappers or, you know, this, that, and the third, or DJ stuff even. But this is a really deep story about how important the mixtape culture
so
was.
So listen, let me tell you something. This is how I got involved with mixtapes.
Yeah.
The first time I ever in my life ever, I never heard of, I'm up in I'm in Bronx. I'm in a juvenile detention center called Spofford in the Bronx. Mm-hmm. And I hear people talking about DJ, Grandmaster Flash, Theodore Galore, the L Brothers, Grandmaster Melly Mouth. Who the fuck are these guys? Man, who the, get the fuck out of here. They come around here and get killed or robbed, motherfucker.
Crazy.
So you crazy? And these guys are this and that. I said, I can't, because they never had no thing. Then one day when I came back home, someone gave me a tape. Some people from the Bronx. It wasn't Grandmaster Flash, but it was Shaw Rock and the Treacherous 3 or Treacherous 4, something like that.
Wow.
And the girl was like, Shaw Rock, don't stop, just get on the mic. And I was letting everybody hear this. And then I got another one from Grandmaster Flash, one of these guys I was locked up with.
Wow.
And
this is Spoff. Spoff is in the Bronx.
Yeah, it was in the Bronx.
That's
how I met those guys.
That's
how I started getting those tapes from those guys.
You was in it, man.
Yeah.
That's where it all started, bro.
Yeah, and I didn't even know nothing about these guys. What the hell? I see some guys in Brooklyn. They come out and play music. They don't say who they are. They don't brag. Yeah. But they're playing music. They can't get on the mic. Hey, cut that shit out. No fighting, all right? But then they get played the music. But these guys say who they were. Motherfucker, I'm the king of rock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're talking shit and like gangster real, and all the gangsters hung out there. All the fucking outcasts, the people that are stick up kids, the people that pickpockets, the jostlers, the chain snatchers, the robbers, the hard arm, the arm robber, everybody was there. That's why.
Time.
That's why in the beginning time there was always beef at the rap thing because everybody was there. You might see a guy that stuck you up before.
Shit.
At the music thing, then there's beef. That's why there's always a beef that started off that way with a lot of beef and fights at the place.
Always something,
now,
man.
You remember that. I'm going back on when I say that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
you
yeah,
see somebody just rob you, set this fucking club in my neighborhood, and your neighbor's like, get my boy, let's get these motherfuckers.
That's some Union Square shit.
Yeah, for real.
Union Square.
Oh,
it's
back
amazing.
In the day, that was beautiful, too, right? Wasn't that Union Square?
Union Square.
That was hip-hop at its finest, man, the beginning stages, man. Wasn't even 20 years old. 50, wasn't even 10 years old.
I know, man. Shout out Kenny Parker from Boogie Down Productions. He's DJing with me tomorrow at my Tuesday party called Toka Tuesdays.
Yeah, now KRS-One was the most conscious DJ. He put, you know what I mean?
Right.
He put you up on game, put you up on the universe and what's really going on after we die. He's one of us.
That's right. BDP, you know, all
dope.
Day. Still rocking.
That's man, dope,
still
man.
Still rocking.
It's amazing
we're
how...
We're trying to get KRS-One here, too.
It's amazing how the music captured the energy of this community. You know?
Wow,
and it
man.
Brought all these people together.
Yeah, see, and it spread like wildfire.
Also, if you go from a religious perspective, even from a Muslim perspective or a Christian perspective, this is the devil's work. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
That's fucking...
Can you believe that?
It has been called that.
Can you believe that?
That's right.
All the devils, when Michael the Angel left, he took all the fucking entertainers with him. You got to hear that. So all music is devil's music
now.
Can you believe they put that in our mind for thousands of fucking years?
It's crazy, right?
That's
crazy.
Some real shit. Wow, man.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Can you really believe that? As human beings, we really believe that? They try to take our fucking happiness, our pleasure, and they talking about brainwash.
Yeah.
Brainwash. Look how many years the religion had a brainwash before music even came to existence.
Wow, man.
Yeah.
But we're blessed, man. Well, you know, and God blesses, no man can curse.
No
way.
Wait, look at this.
We're killing it out here. All of us killing it.
Tony, tell us.
And
getting bigger and bigger and famous.
Unstoppable.
Listen, 20, 50 years from now, a rapper make Jay-Z look like nothing. 100 years from now, they'll look like nothing compared from the rappers that coming after us.
That's right.
The fighters coming after us.
Crazy.
The podcast coming after us. We're going to be nothing. We'll be obsolete.
You're right, man. Tony, give us a little history of the mixtape. Like, how did it come into being? Why was it necessary?
Well, in the beginning, the first tapes that were really done were like live recordings at parties and stuff. You know, when
they were good too.
They were like,
they weren't
dope.
That clear. They weren't that clear, but they were good.
Yeah, it wasn't no DJs making tapes. It was just recordings from the parties. You know, and you know that's where you heard the Busy Bee,
Shante, MC Shante,
all the Shante,
That's
crazy. Yeah. So you know what I'm talking about, man. So all the early recordings, and they're moving forward. Once DJs got equipment, started making tapes at home and customized tapes and personalized, and it just turned into a thing where it became big industry, you know what I mean? And it was like one of the best ways – for artists to get heard and labels to get their music out there. Sometimes, you know, there was not a lot of radio opportunities.
A guy would say, listen, I got DJ Clue.
Yeah,
no, no, right. Kid Capri. I got Kid Capri tape. I said, what? Kid Capri's always on the radio, but he never did a tape. You always hear rappers, let's look at the tape. His tape is off the fucking hook.
Yeah.
He's talking like he never talked before on the radio. He's talking to you personally from the streets.
Right. That's right. And he's a big part of the film, too, Capri, because he, like, changed the game. Like, he took it from the homemade live park stuff to, like, selling
making
them
people,
shits
yeah,
in front
and
of
making
the Apollo.
People come see him. Then come see him perform.
Yeah.
That's dope.
And so it started an industry, man. And, you know, some call us pirates and bootleggers and this, that, and the third. So there's a love-hate relationship with the labels and the DJs that were doing this stuff. So we talk about, we just talk about it.
So that's why you said the feds got involved, because it was looked at as some sort of piracy.
Yeah, I mean, eventually somebody had to deal with
it. But how is it piracy? This shit was made up in the street. This piracy, get the fuck out of here.
They want to control it, Mike.
You can't control it.
They want to control it.
You can't control it. Mm. Only thing they can do is to control the people who create his mind and make them think that these people are stealing from him, which we're not.
That's right.
Like all these big time stars, and this motherfucker is selling some shit on the street. He's stealing money out of my fucking baby's mouth. You fucking idiot, he's not.
Shit, man. So, I mean, yeah, man.
You know what I mean? They think, you know, they want to actually beat this guy up for selling their tapes on the street.
Crazy.
Yeah.
The artists. Not the artists, the people in the school want to beat these guys up.
Yeah. Hey, but Mike, one of the reasons too, man, I wanted to come out here was to also, I'm glad we're talking about the film, you know, because I remember meeting you back in the mid 90s and I had all this, I had long hair. I was looking, you know, crazy. We was at Roseland, this club called Roseland. I said, Mike, man, I'm Tony Touch. How you doing? He said, Tony Touch. He looked me up and down. I said, man, Tony Touch, the DJ? I was like, yeah. You make the tapes? Yeah. Shit, I thought you was black,
I
man.
I did. I had no idea.
I said, listen, I'm Puerto Rican. It's like the same shit anyway. But, you know, we hit it off from then, and you told me how a lot of your training sessions and workout sessions were like off of mixtapes.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, hell yeah.
Continuous
yeah.
plays, so we wouldn't have to stop working out. Turn the dial
but
on the
what
radio.
But know happens sometimes?
Yeah.
Sometimes you run, the motherfucker say some fly shit. You got to, whoa, stop.
That's right. You get excited, man.
Yeah, you know, stop.
Hell yeah.
Play that shit back.
Yeah,
run
it was an exciting
shit.
Time. That's another awesome. Thing, right? Rewind.
Yeah, the rewind. Now just press the button, go back.
I know.
Are up-and-coming artists, musicians, are they still making mixtapes?
Now it's still being used, but it's just different names for it. Some people call it playlists.
Okay.
Yeah,
you
listen,
know,
cause I was
you got a playlist, that's a mixtape.
I was on YouTube listening to a playlist because I listen to music. Boom, it's put a playlist. You be a, it's a radio station that plays music all day long.
Yeah, so that's what, like, kind of like they got the idea from us with all of that. You know what I mean?
Like Spotify.
What they don't
Spotify
do, though, but what they don't do, the law side, they don't mix.
Yeah.
They play, you know, it's continuous music, but they ain't mixing. Like, chun.
Right.
Yeah.
There's platforms out there that DJs use now to get their mixes heard. Like, there's a Mixcloud.com and Soundcloud.com. You got a lot of DJs uploading mixes live from this club or, you know, different formats and stuff. So it's still vibrant, and the labels still use it as marketing tools to still get their artists, even artists themselves doing their own thing. Look at Nipsey Hussle. God bless his soul. God bless his soul. You know, he did this whole thing where he did like 100 mixtapes and sold them for like $1,000 each. And like, that was like genius. Like, he had like such strategic shit, and he was a big supporter of the mixtape.
And
Noah,
and mixtapes, you know? Noah, this is the magic with mixtapes than any other tapes, okay? The mixtapes, you never fucking, you never get tired. Everything that's on there is what you want. Mm. Everything's on there soothing to your, and you know what I mean, your whole fucking existence. Everything you want. It's nothing like, oh fuck, I don't want that, somebody, I just run to it anyway. No, everything is soothing to you. There's nothing interrupting you. Your whole existence is perfect at that moment.
Wow.
You know?
Amazing. Thank
you.
Yeah,
I've been there with a
mixtape. You feel me,
amazing.
Though, right?
It's
just
amazing.
Your existence, everything you want is there.
Yeah.
Imagine having everything you want. That's an awesome feeling. Emotionally, too. Fuck physically. Emotionally, because emotionally, you have it physically. It's just everything there.
Yeah. Musically.
Yeah.
Inspired musically.
Music inspires people. Why does it inspire you?
I know.
We don't even know that about us. Why does this music inspire? Why does this make you want to fight? Why does this make you want to love? Why does this make you want to just be exhilarated?
I've thought about that before myself, and it's as if music is just pure energy, because we just feel it.
Yeah.
You know? We're not like thinking about music. And I've listened to these tapes of this guy talking about, his name's Alan Watts. And he talks about how, you know, life should be like music, because in music, you're never rushing to get to the end.
Yeah.
You're just enjoying every moment of it as it comes. It's about the music itself.
And something else about music, it really, people create it, but no one owns it.
Yeah.
It belongs to no one. They want to own it. That's the thing. You know, our capitalistic, where we want to own everyone. We want to own our spirit. We want to own the people's souls. Music helps them own people's soul and their own perspective. Because when you hear music, you act outside of yourself. You do the hardcore grunt, and next thing you know, you know, and you find a way to make the music adjust to your personality. You're hard, and then you find the music to just rock hard.
You know, keeps you hard.
Keep you cool, though, but you know, you're not no sucker character or something. You know, you find a way to adjust to it in your personality.
Wow, man.
Hey, it's one of the Hotboxing producers. We're going to take a quick break and let you know, if you're a business owner, you don't need to tell us that running a business is tough, but you might be making it harder on yourself than necessary. Don't let QuickBooks and spreadsheets slow you down anymore.
Now it's time to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle.
NetSuite gives you visibility and control over your financials, HR inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need all in one place instantaneously. Whether you're doing millions or hundreds in revenue, save time and money with NetSuite. Join over the 21,000 companies using NetSuite right now. Let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/Tyson. Tell them, Mike.
Schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/Tyson. That's netsuite.com/Tyson.
It's a great story.
No, but it's real stuff. You can't even control yourself when you hear the song Yes Life on or something.
You feel it in you.
You can't even control yourself. You can't just stop eating. You're hungry.
Just start dancing. I know, man. You feel that energy, that vibration come through you, dude. It's powerful.
Yeah, there's no feeling like it, man. So we got these parties we do in New York every week. Sunday nights is like deep soulful house.
Where did that?
The Sunday night party now is at a venue called Chelsea Music Hall. It's in the Meatpacking District, 14th Street, 9th
Avenue.
Man,
I remember that. But Nails used to be in stuff.
Nails, that area. And then we got the Tuesday nights at Bar 13, which is across the street from the old Union Square. Got a rooftop and everything.
Listen,
cool,
let me tell you something. When I had to leave New York, I know why I had to leave New York, because I was kicked out of every fucking club.
Jesus.
When kicked out of every club, you're useless in New York.
Wow.
I don't care how fly you are. You're useless. You can't communicate. You're kicked out of all the clubs. I was fucked.
Nobody will let you in.
Oh, no. I was a wild man. Oh, forget it. Fighting with the bartender. Bringing thug guys down. They ain't never had thug guys down in these kind of clubs and stuff.
I remember, I think I heard a story at the Tunnel with Big Pun and Fat Joe.
Yeah, these guys trying to play Big Pun in them.
Right.
And what happened?
He's some shit, right? You chasing some dude around the fucking van or some shit? That's what I heard. I don't know. I wasn't there.
This is true.
But, wow, man. The Tunnel.
I was such a big fan. Listen, man.
God bless Pun.
Listen, these guys are like gods, man. Fucking guys that are killers. Fucking savages would kill them for somebody even upset them. They don't even know these guys. They just love them. You know what I mean? It was like the fucking ghetto. It was like ghetto superstars for the first time. People in the hood with big respect, with big fancy cars.
Yeah.
The police respected them and shit. It was crazy. And they didn't steal shit. They ain't steal shit. Niggas out there risking their life every day, but these guys look at these guys live the way they want to live, just like that. This is the way the hustler dreams. The successful rapper is the hustler's dream. He's the guys like us. We're on the strip. We're out there hustling, trying to get money, sticking up. That's our dream. That's what we want. We don't know how we're going to get there, but that's our picture. That's the picture of us. But how do I get there from doing this? I'm trying to get there with this fucking gun, but how does this work?
It's like two sides of the same coin.
But then he starts getting involved with this. Well, I'm not a rapper. I could be a security guard with the rappers. And the shit just moves on bigger. Now he owns the company. So some shit like Suge did.
Yeah.
He's a security guard. Now he owns the fucking company.
Yeah, that's right.
A bodyguard. Now owns the company.
Anything can happen, man. There's
you
no
get so
rules.
Inspired by this shit.
Yeah, yes. Anything yeah. goes, man.
You see this guy's on welfare food stamps living in a condemned building. And next thing you know, he's a mega star. He comes around the neighborhood in Rolls Royces and Bugattis and shit. These cars cost millions shit. Of dollars, hundreds of thousands. These guys are just riding in the hood, chilling out. You saw his mother was a bum, a prostitute. Now look at this fucking guy. Damn. That's how the hood works.
Go talk.
We come from shit. The next thing you know, we're in the fucking sky.
Is it because you tap into your what you're supposed to do?
No, we get the we have an objective now. That's a goal. This motherfucker from down here, he's no better than me. He didn't go to school. I didn't go to school. His mother's trampy. My mother was on welfare. I could do it.
Shit.
Yeah. So you just see it. You visualize
it. These guys are still in the hood. These guys, they still think they're bad motherfuckers. They got their crew and they still ride around the hood with their shit. Wish you tried to do some shit to them. Yeah. You serious? That's how it is.
Yeah.
And so motherfuckers get inspired. Say, fuck. I'm in the hood. This guy got a fucking $1 million car driving around here. He's a rapper. How do I get involved? You know?
Yeah.
And then some of those guys, they're looking for guys that are hungry, wanting to get involved. They look for guys out in the hood, around that they're accustomed to, who they know, they want to put on. It's all about being at the right place and having the right desire. You know, everything's timing. In life, time has a lot to do with it.
That's right.
For sure.
Like my friends, when I started making them, they never saw no shit like that. So they just started hanging with me, and I always knew them all my life, so we just hung out together. And everybody, and they just started, next thing you know, I said, you need a job, because you can't just hang out with me and have no money. So I put them on the payroll. And now all these guys got jobs. You don't want no broke motherfuckers around you. Every time they need a fucking soda or something, they got to ask you for money, and then they got to, you know, they got to become men.
Wow, man.
You understand? You can't be hanging around these fucking men. Yes, every time they need something, they got to ask you for a fucking dollar or a quarter. We have to make these guys independent of myself. You know, I mean, I could put them on the scene, but they got to be their own man. Mm. And that's how that shit crews go. And they go on their own way and they blow up too. Hmm. Like you said, most of these guys in the rap game, they all know each other because they all helped each other one way or another, started out, they were friends, and even after being friends, they fucking had beef and they just went their self and way, their separate ways, but they still made it. Mm. You know, shit just happens. Everybody, we're all one. Everything is one. You know, we're all connected. Mm. Even people in China that we never met, we're all connected. The birds, the bees, the fucking trees, the rock, we're all one. It's the universe.
It's interesting. Tony, I mean, the first time you heard about Mike, what was that? Watching one of his fights?
Oh, yeah. Well, we're from the same neighborhood.
Yeah.
We're both from Brooklyn.
So you guys, it's interesting how, you know, you... Yeah. Come into each other's lives.
It's wild, man.
You know, over and over again.
Yeah. We come from bad. I'm from Brownville. We're in the same shit. Brownville, East New York, same. We come from fucking really scary, fucking unimaginable places. Nigga, you can't imagine. You can never imagine that we got to walk up them fucking stairs, them elevators. Now the fucking elevator broke. We got to walk 20 flights and be careful who the fuck you might meet in one of them fucking hallways. As you're going up the steps, who you might fucking meet at 12 in the morning, 1 in the morning, 3 in the morning. You got to run upstairs, some weird motherfucker doing drugs, whatever. Shit. A crew of motherfuckers shooting dice up there while you coming upstairs. This shit is crazy.
That's right.
This shit is crazy.
Over there, man. But, you know, how things have changed now in Brooklyn, huh?
Can't believe it.
It's crazy.
It's hard to live there. Bedford Stuyvesant, you can't live there. The rent is as expensive as Manhattan.
Yeah. Yeah, my dad lives in Fort Greene.
That's where I was born, Fort Greene.
Were you really?
Yeah, in Cumberland Hospital.
Wow.
Me, Spike Lee, Michael Jordan.
Yeah, Spike Lee's dad lives right down the street.
Yeah, we all born in the same hospital.
Yeah.
It's a trip, Big Pun. Remember Big Un? Remember Onion? Big Un from Brooklyn? Yeah, Un Entertainment. Yeah, he was in the same hospital.
Well, why do you guys think so many superstar energy, people... have come out of that area?
They got inspired. They seen people close to them. They seen them. Yeah. Seen it happen to them. They said, he did it. I could do it. We used to be on the fucking same line for getting fucking free lunch, nigga. He blew up. Mm. Remember free lunch?
Yeah.
Now we're on the same line waiting for the free lunch trick. Now this motherfucker on television all over the place and planes and shit, driving fancy cars, riding around the neighborhood. I can do that shit too. Let me take this dope money. Let me flip this shit around. Now I can do this shit too. Because most of those guys in the street, they got more money than a lot of these celebrities. Just don't know what to do. And they kiss these celebrities. I said, chill out, man. Let me, you got more money than these guys. Let me kiss their fucking ass like that, jocking on them. But they don't know. You know, they don't understand because they don't feel good about themselves having the illegal money and shit. But these guys are major superstars themselves. If they went legit, they would be major future 500 company from Forbes, man. These guys are geniuses.
Superstar hustlers.
Yeah, incredible. How can they make that fortune? These are kids. They got so much fucking money, they can't even put it in. The fucking door breaks open and they'll crush them. You know, these guys, they're just street kids.
It's a trip, man. Tony, I mean, you've worked with the best in the biz, man.
Wow, man. Yeah, it's been a great run.
What's Jay-Z like?
I've never really worked with Jay. You know, we've crossed paths a few times, you know, and it's all love and cool. But
who's
I never
his
really
guy? Whose guy was Clue? No, not Clue. Who was his guy?
Clue was the album with Clue. Yeah, that was a real successful mixtape album, you know. Shout out to DJ Clue, and they did a great thing with that.
Yeah,
you know?
Clue fucking put it down for a minute.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. He's still doing his thing. He's up on the air in New York. Yeah, Power 105. Clue's still doing his thing. So, yeah, that's another part of the film, man. We talk about, what are you saying? We still here, man. Like, you got to endure a lot of shit where we come from.
Scott LaRock, man. Did you know Scott LaRock?
God bless him, man. His son, though, be coming around.
Yeah, he's
around.
A fly guy back in the day.
Yeah, I never met him, man. God bless him. But his son be coming through, though.
Yeah,
be
good.
Be around looking good. You know, doing his thing. And dope, here we are, man.
So on top of the film, you're going to do a mixtape as well, right?
Yeah. There's an album, like a soundtrack to the film. And what that is basically...
Who's going to be on the soundtrack?
What was that?
Who's going to be on the soundtrack?
Well, it's a Def Jam 35-year anniversary album that we're doing, or like a soundtrack in conjunction with the film. So it's going to be like a lot of the Def Jam guys, artists and stuff like that, and you know, 2 Chainz, and you know,
that's cool.
Logic. You know,
Logic's dope, man.
He's great, man. So you know, kind of like classic meets current. You know, we're gonna revisit some classic Def Jam beats and maybe get some of the newer cats to like rhyme on them classics a little bit, and vice versa. You know. Get some of the classic artists to rap on the new
shit. Who got you started in this? Who's the person you saw and said, wow, this is what I want to do?
Oh, man. I mean, it goes way back to like Rocksteady Crew days and watching Crazy Legs and Rocksteady kids like me, you know, Hispanic kids.
They were bad kids, right? The dancers.
Yeah, you know. So Spanish kid like me, seeing these kids on the screen, like inspired me, you know, to want to just embrace hip-hop as a whole. So originally, I'm a B-boy turned DJ turned, you know, producer, MC, whatever, but it started with dancing for me. Shout out Voodoo Ray, my brother Ray, you know, another active dancer in the community, and that's what we represent too.
Listen, I'm a New Yorker, and I remember when this hat came out, so you had a bunch of dancers, right? If they had really some kind of beef with you, they wouldn't fight you, but they had a crew, but they had the fighting spirit, the energy of fighting when they were dancing with each other.
Yeah,
and
right.
It was just, and sometimes other people would get in a fight because it was just so crucial to disrespect, grabbing your ball, putting your head in the ball, just doing something crazy.
That's right.
Man, you make some other people fight.
That's right. That's where I get my drive from, that dance shit. First,
but you'd settle shit, right?
Yeah, we settle shit.
Through the dancing.
And at the end, they might slap each other 5, or they might just walk off.
That's
the winner
awesome.
Walk off feeling good knowing they win. But I remember that was off the fucking chain, nigga. Dance off, that was the biggest fucking brawls in the mall. That's
fighting. Dope. Somebody'd have a stereo?
Yeah.
Or even turntables?
Yeah, there'd be music
in box with them or whatever. A boom box.
That's fucking
sick,
dude. And
there's crews that come around battling people saying, I'm the best in the fucking city.
Yeah.
That's what you started out as.
Well, that's what drew me to the culture. Like, I was like, I want to do this, you know? Yeah. And then I was like, oh, shit, what's that dude over there doing?
Because, no, because while they're doing it, it's a crowd around them. Ain't now you're just not doing it and people are just walking by. It's a crowd, and now they're fucking performing.
Yeah.
Showing their shit off.
That's exactly what
it's
it is.
Now they're showing nigga shit. Nigga grabbing balls, flipping, dropping the pants, all type of shit, flying in the air.
That's right.
Some of these guys fly in the fucking air, man. Incredible. You think they're acrobats or something.
Yeah. It's kind of like the beginning of that parkour shit. Have you seen the parkour where guys are jumping off buildings and stuff and landing on staircases?
Hey, let's check this shit out. I want to see this. Right. Yeah, let's see this shit.
Well, it the way that they move, these guys, it reminds me of how breakdancers move.
Crazy ass white people out here.
Yeah,
man.
Dude. White people are insane,
out of their
bro.
Fucking minds, man.
Out of their fucking minds.
Listen, me and my friend were saying, you know, running up the steps, how you get in shape when you run the steps and stuff. I said, I bet you some crazy ass white boys made that shit running to get up the steps. Yo, man, almost got a heart attack. You saw that shit?
All right.
Free running. How
look
do you,
at this.
Look at this shit.
Look at these people.
They have Spider-Man outfits?
Yeah.
Can you believe this, man?
I can't be happy.
Look That's at those guys. Look at this motherfucker. Oh. Listen, man, I think back in the 80s, I could see a fucking breakdancer doing shit.
Yeah, I could. Because they know how to fall. You know how to fall and move and hit the ground.
Crazy ass Puerto Rican, too. Right, them Puerto Ricans be doing all type of shit.
Thank God. Yeah, it's dope, though, right? Just the way they move reminds me of breakdancers for some reason. Right?
Listen, man, you can't.
It's true, man.
These guys do the most death-defying shit. If you try, you think they're gonna kill themselves.
Yeah.
For them guys to do the flips and the fucking splits and
that's another level now.
How do you learn to do that? How do you teach yourself that? They never been to school. They can't afford to go to school. How do you teach yourself that?
Yeah, you just are in the park working on shit. And at home, everywhere you are, you're just working on like how can I stress my body another way.
But it looks like if you make a mistake, you're going to die.
Yeah.
If you make a mistake, you're going to die.
This is true.
Fuck, dude. Well, people do a lot of stuff. If you make a mistake, you're going to die.
Man.
Shit, what is dope, this? Tyson Kush?
Yeah. This is, I know.
Good weed, huh?
Wowzers.
Fuck, man.
LA, what else are you doing, man? LA? Are you in the cannabis industry at all?
You know, not necessarily. I mean, I still do a radio show on Sirius XM Shade 45.
What's that about?
Tuesday nights on Shade 45, the Eminem station that we're on Sirius XM. Yeah, so I got my Tuesdays there for about maybe 14 years now.
Nice,
it's a great show. We premiere a lot of artists. We've broke many artists, and we still play underground music and all that. Like, anything goes, you know what I mean?
What do you think? Who's the biggest artist now?
Oh, wow. Sure. Shit.
It's not like I remember it used to be Michael Jackson.
That's a trick question.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
Madonna. You know who's the biggest?
Yeah.
Rick Springfield. Yeah. You would know right away.
Yeah.
You just know.
I have a favorite. Maybe
who's
not
your favorite?
KRS-One.
Oh, he's the fucking bomb, though.
No matter where you go, any part of the world, you know, you run into him or he's performing somewhere.
He gets awesome energy, huh?
He turns it up, man. So. For me, awesome. That's my favorite. I can't say, you know, the biggest, the maybe, I guess, maybe, you know, to me, him, I guess. You know?
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, if I'm going to go there, you know. But what about you? What's yours? Who's yours? Or who do you feel?
Who's my biggest, really?
Yeah, your favorite or your biggest? I don't know how you want
to. Shit, I don't even know. I like Rakim. I like Public Enemy. You know, I like that stuff, too. That's like my...
Cannabis,
but that's not my. He's not my forefront in fucking hip hop though. Those guys Rakim and those guys, fucking Run DMC.
Rakim,
yeah, I love that shit.
That's better than that, bro.
Very conscious rapper.
Latin Quarters.
Tupac.
Tupac is pretty awesome too.
Yeah.
Biggie.
Biggie's the best.
Yeah, Biggie. Yeah, great. All of them, man. You know, so many legends. Guru.
He was good too.
I love Guru, miss him. You know, he put me on like to a lot of stuff. Like,
he was a nice guy. I met him a couple of times. He was a nice guy.
Got me a lot of work, man. So nice God bless Guru, you know. And Pun, shit. So man.
Oh, love it. Love him. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Nas is fucking awesome.
Nas,
one of the best.
Well, dope, brother. Well, we appreciate you coming in.
Yeah, it was great, man. You guys got me high.
Listen, Noah, so Tripp, how do you define the best in rapping? How do you define?
I don't know.
Do you find them from generations, from their time span, or do you say who's the best I ever heard? Yeah. It's like fighting; you can never tell who's the best.
Yeah.
On a good night, any rapper could be the best.
That's right.
Yeah.
You don't know who he is. One night, everybody gives their best. It probably won't be the guy you think is the best that night.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, it's just what you're feeling in that moment, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, depending on the mood, I guess. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
This
well,
is true. This is true.
Great episode, Mike.
That's always a good one. This night we're smoking, talking
shit. Tony, great to have you, man.
Oh,
great
man.
To meet
it was
you, brother.
An honor, man. Thank
yeah.
you. Well,
you're the man.
It's amazing, man.
Look
this
out for the film, everybody. What's the title?
Yeah. We're in a working title
okay.
place right now.
Nice.
Still got that tucked away, but.
Awesome.
You know,
listen,
you'll hear
what
about
do you
it.
Think? How's the world of fucking mixtapes dealing with the world of fucking the podcast shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
the digital age.
The digital age.
Yeah, that's what we're, you know, we're going to discuss and talk about how it's evolved, basically.
Nice.
It's like it just evolved. It turned into that. Now you got to learn how to make the internet or whatever. You got to make it work for you, you know?
Yes.
Don't be a slave to it. If that's what's happening, well, listen, I'm going to learn it and try to, you know, come up off it or at least stay relevant or at least find a way to just get it off, you know,
yeah.
and make the internet work for you, which is what basically.
So during
doing.
Your life, people more so knew about your work than they knew your face, huh? When did they start knowing your face?
I guess, you know, I would say after, like, I put out that album in 2000 on Tommy Boy Records, I had this major release album. It did pretty well. It was called The Peacemaker.
I know that.
We did a video with Total. Remember Total?
The rap group from Puffy.
Puffy, yeah. So we did that. We did that song and that single. And, you know, I kind of opened up a lot more doors, you know, because it was like my first mixtape album. So I had a bunch of artists on the album, you know, Pun, God Bless His Soul, Proof, Eminem, you know, a lot of people on it. So it was like a mixtape album. It did well. And that's really what really, like, you know,
so
solidified
do you do
that thing.
Do you have concerts now? Do you do shows?
Yeah. I got my weekly events in the city, and then I travel on the weekends, man. One weekend we could
so
be overseas.
Me,
so
your weekly gig in the city is the place where all the people our age go? Or just
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know where to go in New York. When I'm in New York, I stay in the fucking hotel or the house wherever I'm staying, because I don't know where to go no more. I used to fucking think in my mind I owned New York. I don't know where to fucking go. I'm scared to go out now. I don't know where to fucking go.
We got this event
I used to walk
in New
the
York.
Whole world, man. I don't know anybody. I'm looking to fuck around. I'm scared.
What
the fuck?
Yo, nah. We got this event once a month.
What the fuck?
Once a month in New York. It's called The Originals, and it's me, DJ Clark Kent, Stretch Armstrong.
I know Clark, Stretch, y'all know them.
Rich Medina, D-Nice. Yes. BDP, D-Nice. So it's five
he's from
of
the
us.
Bronx. Yeah, I know him. I used to have a girlfriend live right in the same building with him.
Wowzers, man.
Yeah, back in the day. That's when we were young. I knew everybody back
then.
Now I go to this place, I know where to go.
So we do this party once a month, all of us, for like 7 years now.
And the DJs are bringing in 100,000, 60,000 people.
Crazy, right? Yeah, it's the whole thing, man. It's the whole movement.
It's crazy, bro.
Here we are, bro.
Imagine the DJs in the front. And I remember they used to always be in the back.
That's
the
right.
DJ, now the fucking guy out front. He's the star.
Hell yeah.
You know,
Tony
right.
Touch, baby.
Yes.
Once in the house.
In the house.
That's what's up, man.
All right, love. Mike. Great episode, my brother.
Smoke on, everybody.
All day, every day, smoking.
Smoke
man.
On.
Anything you want people to know, like where they can find you? Instagram, any of that stuff?
Yeah, it's at DJ Tony Touch, everything. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Awesome.
It is, right? DJ Tony
Touch. You should have a story about your life, man, all the shit you've seen going out in the club.
Yeah, hell yeah.
That could be the next film. I'll put this
for
one
real,
out first.
There you go.
Life out there.
It's the next movie, you know.
All right, everybody.
All right.
Remember to subscribe on YouTube to our channel, Hot Boxing with Mike Tyson. I'm Evan Britton.
I'm Mike Tyson.
Tony Toka.
We're out of here.
Out.
Peace.
All right.
That's what we do, Tony.
That was what's Britton, up, man. I lost my phone or something.
Yeah,
I had to get my cigarette. I don't have a cigarette.